Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Heard about Anchor? It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
So, folks, it's another day. It's another YWC football talk. With me today is a man who needs no introduction. He's become a bit of a staple on the show, along with some of the other good YWC folks, even though a lot of us aren't as in tune with wrestling as we once were. But you may remember this. He wasn't on the live show because of it. He had a little injury, but he's back off the IR. Dan goes ham. Danny is back with me. He's ready to get his take in on the Jets. Danny, hope you're feeling better, and welcome back.
Yes, we're back to 100%. Very happy to be coming back on. A lot has happened since the last time I've been on. What's it been? Like a good 2 months now, probably. So definitely a lot has transpired with my team and across the NFL. So I'm definitely looking forward to giving some thoughts.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I love it. I like to hear it. So the one thing I wanted to jump into quickly is, what are your thoughts on everything? Because obviously I know from Twitter and social media, you were very excited about one signing in particular because it's the first time the Jets have had this position since, like, the early 2000s.
Oh, man, yes. We finally have a legit presence coming off the edge for the first time since John Abraham, 2004. I mean, some people count Calvin Pace in Jets Nation. I think he was just an all-around solid guy. He wasn't really a lethal pass rusher, but...
Or Muhammad Wilkerson.
Yeah, Wilkerson was inside. He was outside. He wasn't really outside, but... Yeah, man, no, I was thrilled because the way the day went was the Patriots just came in, guns blazing, signed this guy, before anyone signed anybody. You know, they had, a good four deals done. And then later in the night, you know, Joe Douglas woke up from his nap, came through with the Corey Davis signing. You know, I wasn't overly ecstatic about it, but it does have upside. You know, it has potential. The guy was the number five pick in the draft for a reason, and he showed why. A little bit last year, he would have had 1,000 yards if he played all 16 games, which he didn't. But I mean, as far as him being a wide receiver one, I'm not too sure. We'll see. I'm not ruling anything out for sure. He still has upside. Like I said, I don't think he's reached his potential yet. But you know, we'll give that a chance. I'm not overly excited about it. But you know, it was a start. And then later in that night, my favorite signing. I said there was two guys I wanted this whole free agency period. It was Carl Lawson. Joe Tooney. Obviously, no one was going to compete with the Chiefs for what they gave Tooney to be the highest paid guard and go to the Super Bowl winning team. But in my mind, I think the Jets did drive up that price to the $18 million because, you know, that's insane for a guard to be paid that much. He's worth it. He's damn good. You know, that is a great player. I really wanted him, like I said. But, you know, there was no competition there. As far as Carl Lawson, man, oof. I know the sack numbers aren't there, with the pressures and the quarterback hits. And him being, you know, Geno Atkins was old. You know, Carlos Dunlap was, you know, he was okay. But Lawson was the one stud on that defensive line that Cincinnati had. And he was doing it all himself. So for the Jets to actually land that guy, and the deal wasn't even that crazy. You know, Trey Hendrickson, who I really, really did not want, because I just think he was a cleanup sack on a great defensive line, which is what the Saints had. You know, I thought that would have been a mistake to get him. So, I mean, it was a start. Carl Lawson was a start. And another guy I really, really liked that they brought in was Sheldon Rankins, man. And they didn't really pay him too much, like $5 million, I believe, with the potential to be $8 million if he hits his incentives or something like that for 2 years. So, I mean, it's very smart by Joe Douglas to give him 2 years instead of one, because if he came in this year and blew it up, he was gone next year. So you got that, you got Quinnen Williams, you got Carl Lawson now. And, you know, we'll see what they do in the draft. I know they signed Vinny Curry. He's going to be a situational rotational guy. So, but he can still play, you know, you come in, you know, 30% of the snaps or whatever, try to rush the passer on third downs. You know, I'm cool with that. And that's a veteran leader too as well. So very cool with that.
Yeah, that's the big thing that not a lot of teams realize. Sorry if you hear my dog barking in the background, everyone. But, the big thing too is like off-field leadership, and even too I heard with Rankins, a big reason he went there was Robert Saleh. Like, you're gonna get a lot of defensive guys wanting to go there because of him. And if Mike LaFleur can be like what his brother's doing up in Green Bay, you're gonna get some weapons. One thing I want to comment on, and this may sound, because obviously our teams are different. Both were good cap. One team went cuckoo. One team didn't. From an outsider's perspective, I feel like the Jets not going insane this year is better, because we all know this year's a year I feel like you guys are going to have kind of like, I think your best case for me is like 6-7 wins, like that's 6-11, 7-10. Yes, it's still weird to say. We got 17 now.
Man, we got to get used to that.
Yeah, but the thing I'm saying with that is like, look, if I feel like Jet fans are going to get the understanding of, hey, look, we're rolling over, I think it's like $22 million next year, so wait. Use that money wisely, because Quinnen Williams is probably going to have to get paid next offseason. And then and then also, too, next year, there's going to be other guys who are, you know what, who didn't get their ticket this year, who, hey, Robert Saleh and Mike LaFleur are building something special in New York. Let's go there and make some money and maybe win some football games.
Yeah, so you have to hit the nail on the head there. You know, Mike McCagnan set this team back so far, man. And what he did was he just went out and played Madden. He signed Le'Veon Bell to a huge deal. He signed C.J. Mosley to a huge deal. He signed Tremaine Johnson to a huge deal. And just, you know, just he would, whatever free agent would come sign with him for amount of money, you know, that they would take. I mean, C.J. broke the record. I think Le'Veon got paid a lot.
I think it was Tremaine 15 Johnson, for Le'Veon.
Yeah, Tremaine Johnson got like $16 million. These guys are like, you know, he was paying them for what they did and not what they're going to do for the team, as you clearly see now. On top of trading three second-round picks for Sam Darnold to not build around him whatsoever. So, you know, Joe Douglas, he's smart. He's supplementing through free agency. You know, he was like, all right, there's a clear need at on D-line, which is what Robert Saleh needs for this defense to work. You know, you look at the 49ers, they had Bosa, they had Kinlaw, they had, who'd they trade away to the Colts?
DeForest Buckner, Eric Armstead.
Listen, man, they just kept reinvesting in that D-line, man, and what'd they have? Three straight first-round picks on the D-line, even though Solomon Thomas wasn't, he didn't really hit at number three overall, but still, they just kept reinvesting, even though they had that, and that's why I think the Jets still might go edge rusher at 23.
Yeah, because like, I actually did my second mock. I actually finished it last night. I'm going to post it either today or tomorrow. Whenever you listen to this, it'll be up hopefully Thursday. I had you guys taking, I don't remember his name, Aziz Ojolari, I think, from Ojolari from Georgia.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
My guy, I'm 100% in love. I know there's the injury and concussion concerns, but I just think Jalen Phillips is a stud, man. Every time I watch that guy, I just see another Bosa brother and him. You know, like, I just think he's going to be a star in this league. I don't know how the teams are going to view him with the medical and the off-the-field concerns about him retiring from UCLA and then going to Miami, but that kid, from a talent standpoint, is literally a top-10 player in this draft. So if he's not there at 23, I think you go O-line, because like Joe Douglas said in the press conference yesterday, you have to build around Zach Wilson. You have to give him every chance he can to be successful, and it starts with protection.
Well, at least you're not like Mel Kiper saying you guys should keep Sam Darnold and take Penei Sewell at two.
Oh, my God. That guy drives me crazy.
I don't get
all these guys, man. From GetUp, what's his name? Mike Greeny. He drives me crazy. All these guys, man. Fucking Colin Coward. I'm just like, they just talk shit, you know, and they're wrong half the time, and then it's just okay, and it's on to the next tape, and they're wrong about that, and everyone just forgets about it, man. Like, let's remember the times that they put these bull tapes out there, and they're wrong.
I listen to GetUp, like, when I'm at work and stuff, just because it's available on ESPN Radio. I listen to it sometimes only just for other analysts, because I feel like with Mike Greenberg, it would be like, imagine if I'm on the show. oh, Danny, this great incident happened. It has so many implications in the NFL, but what do you think about it? He always directs away from himself. Like, he never really gives his opinion. Like, even to, he'll come and say, like, oh, Justin Fields is falling. I don't know why. It's just like, look, Zach Wilson's a shiny new toy. Because, look, Zach Wilson had a Joe Burrow-esque leap where in 2019, no one was talking about him. This year comes in 33 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Obviously, there was a little, the big con is, oh, he hasn't faced anyone big, but you get to the NFL, it's not like the NBA where, you know, like Gonzaga, for example, where it's like, oh, there's just one team. No, he's going to have his welcome to the NFL moments, but I think Jet fans not having crazy expectations like with Sam Darnold where everyone thought, here comes this guy, USC, balled out in that Rose Bowl against Penn State, I think, in 2018. Meanwhile, with you guys now, it's like, look, there's excitement to come. Like, we know they're going to get properly developed. The new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator. This is also the other thing, too. I know a lot of people don't like it when they fire the head coach at the same time as the GM and, like, vice versa. But this is Joe Douglas's guy. Adam Gase was not Joe Douglas's guy.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's the other thing, too.
What's ironic to me, though, about this Zach Wilson stuff is that I think when you first had me on here back in, like, October, whatever, one of the first two episodes, I'm like, man, the Patriots are going to get Zach Wilson. Because I was watching BYU, man, and I saw this kid. I'm like, this kid is good, bro. This kid's, like he's got talent. But I didn't think he'd be, like, number two overall at that point. So I'm like, the Patriots are going to find a way to get this kid. They're going to ruin my life. 20 years, because I was at that point, I was locked in on Trevor. I was like, there's no way the Jets lose out on Trevor Lawrence, which they did. It's okay, but you know, to see everything in hindsight now that the Jets are literally gonna have that guy I'm talking about, I'm just pumped, man. Like, I've always believed in this kid, but before all this hype happened. So as long as they build around him, man, and they give him all the tools they can to succeed, you know, it's on him.
The other thing I love too is how everyone's already saying, oh, Sam Darnold's going to have, like, this Ryan Tannehill-esque, like, bounce back. Like, I'm like, that's not going to happen because, like, and Big Rap brought this up on Monday, Ryan Tannehill at his worst was not Sam Darnold at his worst. I actually have some trivia for you. So Sam, I found out today, Sam's completion over the season was 59, I think, 0.6%. Surprisingly, there was only 2 quarterbacks lower than him in the entire league that started more than 5 games.
I'm going to go with Mike Glennon, one, and maybe Nick Mullins. Nah, I wouldn't even say Nick Mullins.
Carson Wentz and Drew Locke.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's...
I thought Denver should have been in on that, too, like, heavily. There's no way they can roll into the season with just Drew Locke. You know what I mean?
I think they're going to try to... I think they're either going to trade or hope someone falls to them, or if the draft doesn't succeed them, I think they get Teddy Bridgewater.
I think the Bridgewater thing makes sense. But the thing is, like their team, this is the thing. This is what drove me crazy about people saying the Jets should have gave Darnold another chance. Because Denver has such a talented team, they just don't have a quarterback. And they're winning enough games where they're picking number 9 now. And you have to hope and pray that you're going to have one of these quarterbacks blow to you. And it's going to be the fifth out of fifth guy, most likely. So, like, you know, like, and they don't want to trade their capital either. So I don't know what the hell they're doing in Denver, but that team is so talented, and they're a quarterback away, man. I'm telling you, they're a quarterback away from being a real threat in the AFC.
I don't doubt that for a second, because, like, when I look at the Denver Broncos, like, yeah, like, they have Melvin Gordon at running back, who's really good. Jerry Jeudy looked good. KJ Hamler, second round receiver out of Penn State. Noah Fant's an amazing tight, not amazing, but he's a really solid tight end. And then
Tim Patrick,
you had Cortland Sutton out all year, who was a fantasy darling in 2019. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you still got, like, I couldn't believe they almost let Von Miller walk.
Yeah, that was a head scratcher right there. I know there was legal things going on with him, but I guess they got figured out. But but they have Von Miller, Bradley Chubb. They just got Kyle Fuller. You know, they have the safety. I forgot his name. It's Justin Simmons.
Yep,
you know,
big franchise.
They have talent all over that team, man. It's just, you know, they're a quarterback away. They got to figure it out, man. They're being way too reserved with their quarterback situation.
Yeah, I've said this before on this podcast, and also too, I said Justin Simmons was franchised. I just remembered he signed a 4-year deal, like, after getting franchised. Even with them too, like, I still think Fangio's not the guy for the job. I think they need to get, like, an offensive minded head coach in that building, like. I get you have him there. He's good at his job. Like, he's just one of those guys. I mean, he's a great DC. He's not the best head coach. Because even with the Drew Locke thing, I remember the Patriots game. They won based off field goals. And They should have killed the Patriots, but they let the Patriots come back into it because Drew Lock couldn't get the job done on third down, and he threw two late interceptions that made New England, you know what, almost win that game.
And the thing is, they don't even have that much investment in Drew Lock. He was a second round pick. You know, you're not looking for your franchise quarterback in the second round. If you hit on one like Derek Carr, yeah, that's great, nice. But you know, it's not like you wasted high draft capital on the guy. So like, you know, I know he makes nice throws here and there, but you know, the overall game, it's not there, man. And I don't know what more they need to see. I know they said they're going to bring in some competition, but you know, I think they should go pedal to the metal on finding the quarterback situation. Unless they're thinking internally, like, oh, you know, we're going to have a shot at Deshaun Watson when this all clears up. I don't know.
Yeah, which someone tried. Like, I think if they were to get someone like Watson, like, dude, they're a legit playoff contender.
They're up there with the Chiefs. They're up there with the Chiefs with Watson. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but the only thing is, though, I just don't like want to address the whole situation just because we don't know what's going to happen. I just say,
exactly.
We're in no place to talk about it. We just hope for the best to come out of both sides. And obviously, there was the one victim who spoke up yesterday, which I really give her applause and courage for, just because obviously it's a really tough thing to do. But no, Denver's just a tricky team. Like, I think it's like with this whole quarterback dynamic now with four with Atlanta, I still think it's either Kyle Pitts they're taking, because Kyle Pitts on that offense would be something.
Oof.
But ridiculous. Yeah, but Atlanta's in this weird crossroads where it's almost like they could either be good or they could be really shit.
So if I'm Atlanta and I'm looking at that draft pick, unless a team or two teams get into a bidding war and you're getting, you know, what the 49ers gave up, I'm going to stay with that pick and I'm going to take Kyle Pitts because Julio's only getting older. I mean, Calvin really is a stud.
Yeah.
And you know, you've proven you can win with Matt Ryan, you know, so this is your little, like, last little push with him, give him all the help he can possibly have. Kyle Pitts is another threat in that offense. And, you know, I think Big Rat said it or someone said it. They only lost, I think, 7 games last year by one possession. So then, and a lot of that was on the coaching.
Yeah.
If I'm Arthur Smith, you know, I'm seeing Kyle Pitts there. You get your running back in the fourth or in the second round. And I think you give it a shot with Matt Ryan because they're paying him a lot of money, man. You know, you can't just move on from that.
Yeah. Also, quick note, folks, this is now officially when Danny and I are on, we are an official not CBS Pro Sports podcast. Man, between Ryan Wilson and Jason Lock, like, Ryan Wilson had one of the worst mock drafts ever, and Jason Lock and 4 is just totally wrong.
I've seen so many terrible ones, so many bad. I hate people continuously drafting running back to the Jets in the first round. Cannot stand it.
Jones Drew was doing it to Miami at 18.
Man, I mean, Big Rat wants that stuff. Supposedly he wants Najee Harris at 18.
I don't know about that one. I'm trying to remember who I went with them. I think I did offensive linemen, but we'll see what happens because, like, there's so many questions. But the one thing I was going to say with the whole trade-up with the Atlanta, I think it's either Denver, New England, or Ryan Pace is going to come in and say, hey, how would you like 3 firsts, a second, and a third for number 4?
I mean, what I've heard with the Bears is that he doesn't have the permission to trade away the future draft capital because that's what they've done the whole time he's been there, whether it's been through for Trubisky or Khalil Mack. You know, they haven't had picks. But, you know, that doesn't make sense because they said they gave up how many picks for Russell Wilson?
And 3.
They still turned them down? Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know which way they're going to go, but if they're really comfortable going into the season with Andy Dalton, then God bless Bears fan souls. like, I just don't know what some of these NFL teams be thinking, especially in a division where Aaron Rodgers is on his way out. You know, the Lions are going to be a top 3 draft pick next year. And
you don't know with Minnesota.
And you don't know in Minnesota, man. So like you gotta get yourself in motion there, bro. There's an opportunity opening to be a threat in that division for a long time coming. And if you're gonna go with just Andy Dalton and that's it, then I don't know, man.
Yeah, because that's the big thing with the whole NFC North, like with Minnesota, obviously too. Like they could go either way in the draft, because they need defense, they need an offensive lineman. But the more I look in this draft and all the prospects, there's so much more like later rounds that. You know what, hey, you can maybe get a guard or a tackle in the fourth or fifth round, they'll pan out. Like, don't get something just because it's there and it's like the shiny new object that you have to, you know, you have to possess.
Yeah, from everything I've seen, this draft is really, really deep at O-line and wide receiver, but mostly O-line. So that's why, you know, the Jets' number one need is O-line. So we have a shitload of draft picks. So I'm very, very excited to come, what is it, 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away?
3 weeks tomorrow.
Release tomorrow, man.
Yeah, live from Cleveland.
My Zach Wilson headband and everything. Draft party. All that.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, no, because I don't... I'm just trying to remember. I know Mac Jones said he was going to be at the draft in Cleveland, but I didn't see Zach Wilson's name on there. Like, people who have accepted invites.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know who would really want to go to Cleveland. The damn thing should be in New York Radio City every damn year if it was on me. You know, that's just tradition, and it was always fun like that. But I know NFL wants to expand and stuff like that. But, yeah, as far as attending the draft, once Trevor Lawrence said he wasn't going to attend, I think that took away some star exposure from it.
Yeah.
So I don't know how crazy people are going to actually attend it.
I think you're going to get a lot of, like, I think it's going to be a lot of Cleveland people or people who are closest to Ohio. But then again,
Ohio State, yeah.
You got a lot of diehard football fans who just love that thing. Like, man, next year's draft, I would consider going to, man. It's in Vegas.
Vegas, yeah. I look at that, and that's a vacation as well as going to the draft. So, like, yeah. Like no one's going on vacation to Cleveland. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, that's something I would consider going to.
Yeah, like, maybe next year, YWC Football Talk live from the NFL draft in Vegas.
Live from the draft. Hey, we can make that happen. I'm in.
Yeah, you know what? We get a hotel room. We just go. We fucking podcast every night. We give our reactions. And the best part is the draft's done by 8 or 9, then you go out and you gamble the rest of the night.
Yep, and that's on East Coast time, so it's going to be like, what, 5 o'clock over there?
That's what I'm saying. You'd be done by like 9, the first round would be done by like 9 o'clock.
By like 9, yeah, you're right, yep.
Yeah. Well, going into that, I want to get your thoughts on something, because I saw through your Twitter the other day that a little state called New York has officially legalized sports gambling, and before I get your thoughts on it, I just gotta say, like a few years ago, the NFL, it was like the boogeyman in the room. Like, they didn't want to talk about it or address it. Now, the NFL is so open to the idea of it because they realize how much money it makes them. Like, I think Jersey made $1 billion, and I think it was February or March from gambling alone.
Yeah. So my thoughts are, I mean, from all the negatives that we went through from the pandemic, you know, there were some positives to come out of it, and states opening up to these laws that should be legal, and I have no idea why they're not legal, especially with marijuana just getting passed. I don't smoke anymore, but you know, for all my friends and people who do smoke, I'm very happy for them because you know, getting in trouble for that is ridiculous. But yeah, man. As far as the gambling, man, like I never understood like. What the problem was. People are going to gamble anyways. They go to these bookies. They're giving the money to the bookies. Why not, you know, have it happen in your state? No one's getting hurt. You know, it's fun. I understand there's problem gambling and people lose a lot of stuff. It can go into a very dark spin. But as far as New York legalizing it, I was really excited at first. And then I read the terms. And in the terms is it's going to be only mobile wagering. But the key is you have to be inside of a casino to place your bet, which doesn't make sense to me. So I can't be on my couch or at a bar or whatever watching, you know, football and then placing bets like that. Like, I would have to go all the way out to a casino, place my bet, and then, you know, go and do what I have to do. Which, you know, if I really wanted to do that, I could. But I think most people are still going to go to their bookies and bet like that. So I think they got to adjust that a little bit because I don't think a lot of people are going to be in favor of that. But, I mean, they're heading in the right direction, for sure. They're definitely heading in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly. That's the one way I look at it is, you know what, like, obviously, something like that's not ideal, but I think they're going to work the kinks out and stuff and realize, hey, look, we got to get this into things. You're going to probably have Barstool get involved, because obviously Barstool has their sports book set up, I think, like, Illinois, Pennsylvania, Michigan. Like, they're going to want to set up in New York.
Yeah, it's a cash cow, man, of course.
FanDuel obviously has a huge sports book, I believe, right near MetLife.
Yep.
Or that one may be inside of a casino, actually.
I don't think I've ever been, but yeah, New Jersey, I'm sure they have a lot of stuff set up out there, so I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, but no, like I feel like eventually they'll realize, like, look, we can do that, and also too on the show, I gotta say every time I bring it up that we do say, like, look, bet within your limits, people. For those of you listening, don't bet what you can afford to lose. That's what I like to say in life.
Listen, I've been there, man. I've been in a dark hole with the gambling, got out of it, thankfully. So, you know, that's why I wasn't too excited, because I've been there, done that. I know the negatives of it, too. I know the positives and the negatives and the emotional swings. So definitely bet within your means. You know, they're not playing around when they say that, because it's a very addictive thing.
Exactly.
You're out of control.
It's just one of those unfortunate vices that sometimes it can just get the better of you and just be an absolute negative force.
Yep.
Yep. The next topic of subject that I wanted to bring up between you and I is, let me just pull it up quickly. is we were going to do... I wanted to do something because I got inspiration from Pro Football Talk as yesterday PointsBet came out with the over-under win totals of each team. Just give me one quick second as I pull it up. All right, you know what? I'm going to do let's do the AFC East first.
Okay.
The first one I've got is the Buffalo Bills at 10.5. Would you take the over or would you take the under on that?
I'll take the over on that.
I'll take the over on that too, but the only thing I got to say of Buffalo this year that intrigues me is they've never been the hunted. There's always the hunter, so I want to see how they receive that. Like, you know how every year it was always New England with that target on their back? Now it's the Bills. I want to see how they respond to that. So
yeah, I want to see. I don't want to crown Josh Allen that just yet. You know, I want to see him do it again this year. And if he does, then I'll give him his props. But you know, I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback, but he's had more bad play than good. So I want to see it happen for another year.
Exactly. Everybody wants to know: was it an outlier or was it not? Because like, look at Lamar, for example. He had an amazing season in 2019, and the 2020, he was not the same.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think Brian Daboll is doing a lot for him that more people realize.
That is one of the biggest X factors, and not a lot of people realize, is the fact that he did not take a head coaching job anywhere.
Yeah, once that guy's gone next year, I want to see it happen again. So, you know, it's unfair to him. He's a good quarterback, trust me. Like, I'm not trying to discredit him saying he's trash or anything. But as far as calling him elite, which a lot of people want to put him in that category, not yet, no.
Now, the next one's going to be your favorite because this is going to cause some controversy, but the Miami Dolphins at 9.
I'm taking the under, man. I'm taking the under. I'm not sold on the Dolphins yet. Tua's going to have a full 17-game swing. I mean, I know they got help. They got help. They got Will Fuller, who has missed 5 games in every single season of his career. They're going to probably have Ja'Marr Chase, which is, you know, another lethal threat. But I'm not sold on Tua, man. I'm not sold on their O-line. I'm not sold on their pass rush. They have more needs than people think, and they're not playing a last-place schedule anymore. So, you know, I'm going to go the under there.
Yeah,
not by much, probably by eight wins, maybe 7, but I'm taking the under.
I'm going to say even for them. I could see them winning, like going 9-8 or even like 10-7, like something like that. I think there's going to be a couple of those games where they lose where they're supposed to win. Like, you know, last year they went into Denver and lost.
Mm-hmm.
I think something like that could happen where there's a game where everyone thinks they're going to win and take care of business and take care of it, no problem. Next up, my boys, New England, same thing, 9.
Just 9 flat?
Yeah, 9 flat.
I'll go even. I'm going to go even on that. But that's subject to change on what they do with the quarterback situation. So as far as Cam going in today, as a starter, I'm going to go even.
You know what? I'm going to go in on even too. Like, obviously, I'm the Patriots fan here. But look, I got to know at the same time. I got to be realistic. Like, I think this team, if they make the right moves, could potentially get into double digits. But for now, I'm going to say even. And I love all the people out there who have told me that, like, we're going to win less than last year. But I'm like, this team's gotten better. It's just now like, look, Bill made them better. Now they got to go out and do it themselves. Like, Cam's got to go prove it. It's just the fact that I have hope is because, look, 7-9 with a bit very mediocre roster says a lot, in my opinion.
So with the Patriots, I came across this guy on Twitter. His name is Football Unlock, and he has a YouTube channel as well. And I was checking him out because, you know, he had videos on the draft and stuff. And the guy is really, really smart. And he made a video on the Patriots defense and what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And he said that they're trying to transition to I believe it's a 2-4-6 defense, which is 2 down big defensive linemen in positionless football on the defense. And he said if Bill Belichick makes that work, they're going to be, you know, like a force to be reckoned with. And that's why I like the Patriots this year. I'll link you that video later. I want you to watch that as well and give me your thoughts. But that's what more so the defense than the offense for me on the Patriots. I think they could be potentially the best defense in the AFC East for sure.
I still think what they're going to do is they're going to run something like, look, they obviously, I love their defensive additions like Matthew Judon, Kyle Van Noy, I was a huge fan of, obviously, because that's a character guy. Dante Hightower coming back is something that not a lot of people outside of New England are talking about.
I know with that. You and Phil are very hyped for him. Yeah. I want to see it. I want to see how he comes back. Same thing with CJ Mosley on my team. I just want to see what that year off did and if they come back as the same player.
I'm going to be honest with you. I was scared to shit when I saw that he would sign with the Jets. I was like, oh, for fuck's sakes, I got to deal with this guy twice a year. Then he had the injury troubles and the COVID.
We got three quarters out of CJ Mosley for $17 million a year, man. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but now the big thing with me with the Patriots is, like, look, I think even, I know you and I talked about the Anderson signing. I think Anderson's going to play, like, the same thing, like 20-30% of the snaps, where it's like, he'll come in on the offset downs, whether it be second down or he's there to stuff. We also have Lawrence Guy mainly going to be carrying the load on the defensive line. And Devin Godchuk, too, from Miami was a signing I really liked. I think we're going to run like a three. I could see them doing like a 3-4-4 or a 4-3-3 set, but we'll or a 4-3-4, excuse me. Just depends, I think, on where they want to go or how they're going to do. But at the same time, too, they do crazy things like last year. Like Adrian Phillips was playing linebacker at points of last year. Like this year, they've got the pieces to succeed.
Yeah, that's one thing Bill hasn't lost is talent to scheme defenses and stuff like that. So I'm definitely not ruling them out on the defensive side of the ball. The offense is another story.
But, yeah. There's like five or six teams, in my opinion, that can finish anywhere from 5th to 11th, in my opinion.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, like I think the top four are pretty much set in stone, and then... I'll tell you about those in a minute. But the next one up, New York Jets at 6.5.
6.5. Wow. Well, we know Zach Wilson's going to be the quarterback. Man, I think this it really depends on what Zach comes in and what he is, man. Because the talent on the receiving end is nice. It's not pathetic anymore. You know what Sam had was pathetic, like straight up. It's definitely an upgrade. A lot of people are sleeping on Denzel Mims, man, and Zach Wilson is the perfect quarterback for that kind of player. I still have faith in Chris Herndon. Running back, it's going to be a rotation, just like it was in San Francisco. Corey Davis is another, you know, if he puts up 1,000 yards, that's great. So 6.5, I could see them getting to 7 or I can see them getting to 6 as of today. So, I mean, I'll go with the under for now. I'll say 6 wins, but that's still progress, man. You know, that's what you should be shooting for. That's definitely what you should be shooting for. You're not shooting for the playoffs year one. I'll say that much.
Yeah, exactly. Don't think you're going to make the playoffs. Like, it's just going to be, you know what, I think you guys are going to have a year like the Pats. Like, you know where, like, you may win a couple games, and it's like, all right, what's this team up to? But then, like, you have that, like, little rough stretch where it's like, okay, we're setting back into reality.
Listen, man, I look at the Chargers last year, and I mean, outside of the coaching blunders, that's what I want to be. You know what I mean? I want to have the quarterback problem, you know, solved, and a team that's building. And now this year, they'll be in contention, man. I don't know if they'll be fighting for the 7th spot or not, but, I mean, they should be winning games this year as long as they got that coach right, which a lot of people like.
Yeah, and also, dude, the one thing I like that is Joe Lombardi coming over from the Saints for them.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge, man.
All right, moving on, we got to the AFC North. First up, Baltimore Ravens at 11.
I'm going to go under this year. I think Lamar takes another step back. They really didn't solve their receiver issues. I know we still have the draft, but, you know, I don't like what they did in free agency, so I'm going to say under.
Also, the fact, too, that one of their better offensive linemen wants out is not a good thing either. Like, they also, they don't even have a center at the moment. Max Skura, who wasn't that good to begin with, decided to leave. And then Orlando Brown Jr., I think, still wants out, or he wants to be paid. He's a guard who wants to be paid like a tackle. Like, it's a very tricky situation.
Yeah, man. If the Chiefs get that guy, man, I don't see how they lose this year. Now, I mean, obviously, they're going to lose. I'm saying as far as the Super Bowl. I don't know who's beating them.
Yeah, exactly. It's just one of those million-dollar questions. I'm gonna go with the Ravens. I'm going under. I think they're like 10-7 or 9-8. I think they're in that same like Miami boat where, you know what, they're gonna lose a couple games like they're not supposed to. Like last year, I remember it was a Sunday night game against the Patriots where I was like, man, we're gonna get our asses kicked. This is not gonna be fun. And we beat them. But I just love how they were complaining about the weather and everything. It's like, oh, that's New England weather. And I'm like, nah, it was pouring rain. Like, guys, shut up.
Yeah, man, I had money on that game. I had a lot of money on the Ravens that game, so I definitely know what the hell you're talking about. I do think the rain did play a factor, though, for sure.
Yeah. It's just with them, they got to figure out, they're like, their defense is good. It's just, they got to figure out their O-line, and they got to figure out the receiver room. Like, if they do not address it in the draft, it's going to be like, okay, you're good, but then you get to the playoffs, and it's like, now what? Plus, Lamar, too, is looking for his new looking for a contract already.
Yeah, man. Would you pay Lamar?
You know what? Ravens? I would take his option for now, and then if he either has a really good, I don't know what how the negotiation window works, but he's also his own agent. He doesn't have an agent.
Yeah, so you know he's going to come in and saying, you know, I want what Deshaun got. I want MVP. So it's going to be a tough decision for Baltimore, man. I think I would take the draft capital.
Yeah, I would.
You could definitely still get a lot of draft picks for Lamar Jackson, man.
Yeah, like I don't know if they'll like trade him or anything, but I'm just saying, like, I think the best route to go for him is look, do not rush in to pay him, because a lot of the times when you do that, just because you think you have something good, it comes back to bite you in the ass when you're like, why do we pay him this much? Like, how obviously he's probably going to be worth it, but how Dak got some of those question marks coming off the injury.
It's just those style of quarterbacks, man. They're just, you know, we haven't seen the injury yet, knock on wood, but you know, he's proven that when he needs to be a quarterback and pass the ball, like, he just can't get it done.
Yeah.
You know, and if that rushing threat isn't there, you know, he's super limited. So I can't see, you know, a team paying him $40 million. A team is going to pay him $40 million, but, like, I don't know how successful that's going to be.
Exactly. Like, that's the reason why I would wait, too, is because, look, the salary cap's going up. It's not like, it's staying stagnant. No, with the new TV deal that kicked in, there's going to be ticket revenue, there's going to be more television revenue, there's going to be, like, fantasy football. I say it's a huge outlet of revenue for the NFL. You're going to have all this money being made for the league that, you know what, eventually is going to go back into the cap. So next year, it's only going up and up.
Yeah, I saw, I think it's in 2 or 3 years that the projected cap is going to be $250 million, which right now, as of today, I believe is, what is it, 180?
182. So
that's a huge increase, man. That's a huge increase. So, I mean, look at Joe Douglas, man. He just reset the clock on a rookie quarterback. I think he's thinking long term, you know. He's going to be financially flexible coming when that 250 hits.
Yeah, yes, sir, exactly. Next one I want to go with is Cleveland at 9.5.
I'll go over. I think Cleveland's legit. I think they should find a way to get Clowney. I'm not huge on Clowney, but to have Clowney and Myles Garrett across from each other, I think that's huge. And their biggest problem is defense. We got to see how Odell comes back. I think Baker takes the next step. You know, he took a step last year. I think he takes the next step. And I can see them winning the division for sure.
They have one of the most underrated offensive lines in the league.
Oh, and I forgot about the O-line. Yeah, so that's not even a problem they have. Their O-line is good. You know, their receivers should be fine. It's just straight draft picks on defense, and that's their biggest need is defense.
Exactly. If they want to pull the Carolina Panthers and go defense for 7 rounds, I'm fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even to, like, Nick Chubb's great. Kareem Hunt, we'll see, because obviously if they make trade him around, because Nick Chubb's obviously an RB1. They even, like, Donovan Peoples-Jones really emerged this year. Harrison Bryant, Austin Hooper, like, Cleveland set is just...
Rashard Higgins, yeah.
Yeah, Rashard Higgins even, too. He signed on a cheap deal. They got John Johnson at a steal from the Rams.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they did make some good moves. They made... Troy Hill, I believe, as well.
Yeah.
Slot cornerback.
Yeah.
So, look, they made some moves there. They still have Denzel Ward.
Yep.
And, you know, they just keep adding to that defense, and you're good to go, man.
Exactly. I like the signing of Tack McKinley, too, because I feel like he's not going to be asked to do much. It's just kind of like, look... Take pressure off because, you know, Myles Garrett's going to be getting doubles teams because after the hit and everything, like, we weren't sure about Myles Garrett, where he was like, but he got paid. And he's a guy who could be DPOY one of these years.
The Tack McKinley signing, you said it, man. He still has upside. Cheap deal. I love those kind of deals, man, with players with upside, the one-year deals. You know, hopefully you hope they outplay them. And he's going to be a situational pass rusher, so, like, the attention won't be on him. So he should be, you know, it's a win-win for both of them.
I'm going over
rounds if you get the production and win for him. He'll get paid next year if he, you know, puts up the stats.
Exactly. I'm going over, too. Like, I honestly wouldn't be shocked if the Cleveland Browns won the AFC North.
No, not at all. Not at all. They should. The Ravens are the favorites. That's what that's saying, right? What are the Steelers now?
8.5.
Over under. 8.5. Wow. That's a tough one. I'll go over. I'll say 9 wins for the Steelers. I mean, Tomlin's a great coach, in my opinion. And, you know, I don't think Ben's going to do all that much this year. I think you see him start to wind down for sure. But, you know, they still have their receivers, man. They'll win a lot at first, like they did last year. They'll win their games, and then they'll flame out. And they'll, you know.
You know,
go ahead.
You know where I see them? I see them kind of like the 2019 Patriots, you know, where there's a few games where their defense has to bail them out, but then they're going to beat the teams that they're supposed to be. I think if they can do that, they'll be... They're like one of those teams, too, where they're in that, like, five... Like, them, Miami, and New England so far are those teams that are in that, like, mix of, like, hey, they could finish fifth, or they could finish in, like, ninth or tenth and be picking in the mid to low teens.
Yeah, and they're all going to be about, like, 1-2 game swing, so they'll all be in the race in December, trust me.
Oh, that's the other thing, too, with the 17th game. It's just going to make football that much more exciting those last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and the last one in the AFC North is the Cincinnati Bengals at 6.5.
Oh, man, is Burrow supposed to be playing week 1?
I haven't heard as of now, but, You know what? I'm gonna say even for that. I'm gonna say 6.5 is even. I think it's another growing pains this year, unless Burrow plays like his 2019 self. And I know that was college, but if he comes back from injury, lights the world on fire, then they may win more. But I still think it's another year for them.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'll go under. I think they get 6 wins, so 6.5 under. I don't think they should rush Burrow back, man. And another thing with them, if they go Ja'Marr Chase over Penei Sewell at number 5, I have no hope for that franchise at all. I don't care if Joe Burrow is banging the table for Ja'Marr Chase, like, oh, look at the chemistry we had in college, blah, blah, blah. You got to be protected, man. And it's just not there. It's not there. So if they don't go Sewell, they lose the draft automatically.
You don't
have to go Sewell.
I think they have to go Sewell, too, but I just think at the same time, too, I wouldn't be shocked if Burrow's going in there and being like, hey, give us Chase.
Exactly, but you got to, as a GM, you got to be like, all right, I understand we considered your options, but we're looking out for the best of you long term. You have T. Higgins, you have Tyler Boyd, you have weapons. You know what I'm saying? Joe Mixon's there. You have enough. We're not trying to win the Super Bowl this year. We're trying to build this thing for year 3, year 4, year 5, and we want to keep you healthy. Which they clearly couldn't do last year. So they struck out in free agency. I don't think they signed any old linemen. Right? Oh, they got Riley Reiff, right?
Yeah, they got Riley Reiff.
He's middle of the pack, you know. He's not going to be there long term. So, in my opinion, got to go Sewell or you lose the draft. I don't care what they do after that. Have to go Sewell.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I feel like with them, they're just in a... And also, one thing I was going to say quickly, while I got off track. With the Trey Hendrickson thing, going back to that... The fact that the New Orleans Saints just let him walk, I think, says a lot more than people think.
Like I said, man, I was petrified of my team. So I think that was the plan if they didn't get Lawson, they were going to get Hendrickson. And I really believe that guy's going to be the biggest free agent bust there was this year that got signed for big money.
Like, Bengal fans are going to be looking at it like 2 or 3 years being like, fuck, we got to get rid of this guy.
Guy's a coverage sack guy, man, I'm telling you. And they don't have another threat in the D-line like the Saints did to get to the quarterback. So he's going to get all the attention, and I'm sure he won't do much. And... Plus, he has bad numbers against the run.
Exactly.
So, I don't know how they let Carl Lawson work for the same amount of money.
Yeah. And also William Jackson, too.
That was a big loss, too, man.
Yeah. So, moving on to the South, we got the Tennessee Titans at 9.5.
I'm going to go under. I think them losing Arthur Smith was huge. They also lost Jonnu. They lost Corey Davis. So, I want to see how Tannehill plays without Arthur Smith, man. I mean, Derrick Henry's still there, yeah, but you just had back-to-back 2,000-yard seasons. I don't think you're doing that again. That's wear and tear, man.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? And their defense isn't the greatest either. So, I mean, I want to see what they do in the draft, but as of today, I'm going to go under.
They added Janoris Jenkins and stuff, but, like, I don't know how much that'll do. Like, and also last year, they had zero pass rush. Like, they have to... They're at, I think, 23 in the draft. No, they're 24. They're right after you guys.
Mm.
They have to go pass rusher in the first round. You have to.
Absolutely.
Like, like a Gregory Rousseau, Jalen Phillips, even a Owusu-Koramoah from Notre Dame, if he falls. I know he's a linebacker, but still, he's
going to be a baller. Baller, man.
He's going to be a baller. He's a guy I would like to see Cleveland get.
He's going to be a baller.
I'm going to say even for them. I think they're another one of those teams like that's in that New England... Miami, the Pittsburgh, a part of that club where it's like, look, they're either going to be good or they can do great and win the division, or they can lose a bit, wild card, or even just on the outside looking in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Next one up is the Indianapolis Colts at 10.
I'm going to go over. I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to Carson Wentz. I think he revives it this year back with Frank Reich. And their team is good, man. They got the O-line. You know, their weapons aren't the greatest. I'm really big on Jonathan Taylor. I think he's really, really good.
Yeah.
As far as the receivers, Pittman, you know, he has upside for sure. T.Y., they brought him back on a one-year, right, I believe? It was a one-year deal. Brought T.Y. back. So I want to see them address receiver a little bit more in the draft. And, you know, the defense is good. So I think that's your division winner right there, honestly.
They also got Zach Pascal. Like, I actually like him as a receiver, too. He's good for a few passes here and there.
Yeah, for sure.
Their situation, too, even with cornerbacks not bad, I was looking at it, like, they still got, like, Rocky Sin. They got, what's the guy's name from Minnesota?
Xavier Rhodes,
who was shit for the Vikings. But he not rejuvenated, but he's done his job in Indy. Like, I like Matt Eberflus, what he's doing. They got DeForest Buckner. Darius Leonard is a hell of a... hell of a linebacker. It's just my only concern with me with them is just they got to replace Costanzo on the line. Like, I know they have a good line, but you got to replace him.
Yeah, definitely. That's a big loss. I didn't even think about him. I forgot about that. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, this is a really good job for offensive linemen, so we'll see which way they go.
Yeah, and we'll also see, too, if Quentin, because Quentin Nelson's going to get paid one of the best.
He's going to shatter Joe Tooney's number.
Oh, easily. He may even get close to David Bakhtiari.
Yeah.
Next up, and also, too, I'm going to say that, you know what? I think they win in the South. Like, I think it's between them and the Titans. But I just can't pick against the Colts right now. I think Carson Wentz is going to have a recruiter revitalizing year, and we're just going to see Eagles fans just fucking... They're going to be happy, but we're going to... Like, deep down, we're all going to know that they're going to be like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, the Colts fans are getting what the Panthers fans think they're getting.
Yeah, exactly. Like, look, I know with the Panthers, Joe Brady's a great coordinator. He's going to run that Saints West Coast offense, but... We were going to do the AFC originally, just the AFC, but we can do the NFC as well. Moving on to the next one, this is an easy one. Houston at 4.5.
Under. Yeah. Even if it was 2.5, I would have said under.
Yeah, like, I still think with them, they're gonna steal a game or two, like, but besides that, I just can't see them winning that much. We also don't know, too, like, on a serious note, with the Watson thing, I think there's a good chance he's on the commissioner's list.
I don't think he's playing football next year. There's no way. I don't think so. Innocent or not, I just can't see it with what's going on. And another thing about the Texans, man. I mean, I know you don't really want to get into it, and this is all speculation.
Yeah.
But if they, like, everyone wants to say this was an inside job and stuff like that. If they knew that, don't you think they would have traded him before all this came out?
Yeah. Honestly. I think I can honestly say I think they would have. I don't think they would have kept it hidden, or it's not like another team. Hey, yeah, by the way, this is coming. I don't think they would have done that.
Mm-hmm. Like, but a lot of people shit on the Texans, and they just assumed, like, oh, because, you know, Jack Easterbay and Bill O'Brien, you know, completely screwed up the organization, which they did. To be fair to them, I mean, you don't ever see a franchise quarterback come out and say, oh, I need to get out of here because you didn't hire the general manager that I wanted. Like, what is your say in that? You know what I mean? It makes me think that Deshaun knew this was coming and he was trying to run from the problem. Honest to God.
Yeah, like I said, we don't want to get... I just don't want to get too much into it just because, like, I don't want to say the wrong thing and then it's just like, oh,
yeah,
my God,
I
can't
believe...
Yeah, but, like, look, when you look at it from that perspective, though, you're right. It's just a messy situation down there. Like, I think they steal a game or two, but at the same time, too, I can't see them winning more than three games. Like, they're going to be picking top five next year. You can go out there.
Yeah.
You can get already. If I'm a Texans fan, start watching Sam Howell highlights.
Honest to God, yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's the easiest thing I can say for them to do. Next one up, Jacksonville. Same odds as... your guy as the Bengals at 6.5.
I'm gonna say under. I know I came on here when we did the head coaching hiring cycle, but I just don't believe that Meyer is gonna transition well to the NFL. And I know they're getting Trevor Lawrence, but what's really gonna be around him, man? I know they have DJ Chark. They signed Marvin Jones. Their O line's still bad. Their defense is still bad. And there's gonna be a rough adjustment, I believe. I don't think they made the right moves for Trevor Lawrence.
No,
so,
like,
I'm gonna say under.
I love everybody saying, though, like, oh, Michael Thomas is gonna go there because of Urban Meyer. Like, my biggest thing with Meyer right now is look, when you look at the things with him in college, whenever he wants to go out and get someone, he just goes out and recruits them. Now it's not that simple. Like, obviously you can do it with money, but I think it's next offseason is gonna speak volumes to what this team is gonna be in the future. Because look, Jacksonville's always that cute little storyline where it's, hey, they're there. I think they're going to go... I'm going to take under. I'm going to say 5-12. I think you see moments from Trevor Lawrence, but at the same time, too, yeah, there's going to be a lot of growing pains with that team, and Urban's going to get those realizations of, hey, it's not all that good, because even, too, like, look at his first hire. It was the strength and conditioning coach from Iowa who had the horrible history to him, and they had to get rid of him right away.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
But, you know, if Nick Saban couldn't do it, I don't think Urban Meyer can do it. But we'll see. You know, I've been wrong before.
We all have been. Moving on now to the defending AFC champions back-to-back. Kansas City Chiefs, 12.
With 17 games, I think that's easy over. Yeah. Easy over.
The only thing with them, though, is I've got to tell you this. Last year, they had the same spread record as Jacksonville at 7-9.
The Chiefs?
Yeah.
Oh, the spread record. Well, yeah. That makes sense. Vegas, usually with the really good teams, Vegas is on point with those. That's why you try to stay off the really good teams, because more likely than not, the underdog covers on those because the lines are so high.
Carolina and Atlanta, I know, covered against them.
Yeah. Usually they set their lines like to a ridiculous amount so they protect themselves.
Exactly. Like, I remember it was the Carolina game. I bet them to cover, and then like the whole game, I'm like, man, guys, what the fuck are we doing? Like, oh, but with them, though, like, we say right now, like, oh, how are they going to bounce back after the Super Bowl? Like, they obviously lost Sammy Watkins. But, like, look, Chris Jones gave money back. Travis Kelce gave money back. Patrick Mahomes gave money back. Like, this, like, I think we see a second. I think last year, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was very overhyped. Like, how everyone was saying, like, top 10 fantasy running back and all this stuff. And he was good, but he wasn't, like, this amazing guy. Plus, they signed Le'Veon Bell. I think this is the year he really shines. They're also going to get Duvernay-Tardif back on the offensive line, I'm pretty sure, who opted out, obviously, to stay up here in Canada and take care of COVID patients. With me, with them, it's just, look, the same thing. Like, everyone's going to say, oh, what are you going to do? But it's like the Patriots every year. It's like they're going to be more than likely right there in the thick of things come January. So I'm easily taking the over on them.
Yeah, that's easy money for everybody out there.
Yeah.
Go bet that. Yeah. Go bet that. Put money on that one.
Speaking of betting, we're moving on to the Las Vegas Raiders at 7.5.
7.5, wow. I'll go with the under. I just don't think John Gruden's good at all. I think he's one of the most overrated head coaches there's ever been in this league.
Yeah.
They signed Ngakoue, which is a nice signing, but I don't think he's a sure thing.
They purged their offensive line, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah, let's get into that, but yeah, as far as Ngakoue, that's a boomer bust right there. You know, he was great his first, year or two, and then ever since then, he's kind of fell off. But they didn't give him a ridiculous amount of money, so it was a good signing. As far as the offensive line, what the hell are they doing, man? Completely gutted everything. Did they bring in any? Who did they bring in?
They just re-signed Richie Incognito, and someone else is slipping my mind.
That is ridiculous, man. How old is Richie Incognito now? He's got to be like 38 or something like that.
He's in his 30s, I know that. The only thing of significance I know they did do was Colton Miller got, I think, 18 and a half a year.
That was their draft pick, right?
He was the draft pick in 2018.
Yeah, okay, so they have him still, but they have a whole lot of needs everywhere else on that O-line. I'm still not signed, sold on their receiving core. I know Darren Waller is a complete stud, fucking awesome player. And I'm not sold on Derek Carr. So, I mean, there's going to be fans in Vegas next year, and they're going to be a lot of opposing fans there for the other team.
Oh, dude, 100%. Like, I know, for example, the Eagles are going to Vegas next year. Like, you know people are going to plan their weekend around it. Like, say, for example, next year, if it was like, hey, Jets are playing the Raiders in Vegas, like, you know there'd be a strong contingent of Jet fans going out there for the weekend and then Sunday go to the game and go home Monday.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what you're going to see, man. Unless they came out like the LA Rams did and they won, it's not going to look good for a couple years.
Exactly. Like, the big thing with me with them is, I think as long as Mark Davis is content with having John Gruden there, he's not getting fired or on the hot seat. Even though anywhere else, John Gruden would have been fired by now.
The guy's got a 10-year contract. I think that says enough about it.
Yeah.
He's not going anywhere.
Like, I think Mark Davis is just like, hey, we're buddies. Everything's good. Like, oh, we only won 8 games this year? Oh, that's fine. I got my buddy.
And he's just making terrible draft picks too, man. That's another thing. He's just, I don't know, man. I just don't get what the Raiders are doing right now. So yeah. I'm gonna go with the under for that.
Same. The only thing I have with Waller is that he's just, from a fantasy perspective, he's super inconsistent. Like, he'll have a boom in week 1 week and then he'll just be quiet the next.
Put up like 200 yards against my Jets, man. So yeah, no, I understand. I don't think I've ever had him on a fantasy team, but I've definitely gotten beaten by him. So he must have went off that week.
Exactly. The big thing, too, with them as well is that I did not like is I'm signing Kenyon Drake. I'm like, you have Josh Jacobs. So
oh, my
like,
God, terrible.
That is a fantasy killer, by the way.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I mean, Josh Jacobs is a stud. You're not paying him anything. And you're going to go and sign a guy to split carries with him for what? What did he get, like $7 million or something like that?
I think it was like 8 or 9.
Oh, my God. That's terrible. He's had like one really good year with Arizona, and then they doubled down on him this past year, and he did nothing, man.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell makes you go out and pay him $8 million a year at all.
I don't know. It's like I said, I just think they're just fixated on this whole, like, oh, buddy persona. Like, I honestly think that if they have a shitty year, Gruden's going to throw Mayock under the bus and Mayock's going to get fired.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can 100% see that happening. He 100%.
He did it with Reggie McKenzie.
Who was a good GM for them, man? He found talent. Mari Cooper, Khalil Mack. That guy, you know, I'm sure he had his blunders, but, you know, he found blue chip players for them.
The only thing I have to say with Gruden is, though, I feel like he finally has Carr clicking the way Gruden wants him to work.
Derek Carr, he's tricky for me, man, because you look at him, he's in, what, year 7 now, year 8? And I think he's reached his ceiling. I think what you see is what he'll ever be.
Going into year 8.
Yeah, which is a quarterback that he's going to win you games, but he's not going to win you enough games, and he'll never be an elite quarterback. And it's really hard to win a Super Bowl like that, man, especially with the Chiefs in your division, the Chargers now on the up. And like I said, if Denver gets a quarterback, they'll be up there with them too. So they got to figure out the Derek Carr situation.
Exactly. The next one we got is the Los Angeles Chargers at 9.
At 9. Wow. That's a tough one, man. I can see them winning 10. I'll go over on that. I think what you saw from Herbert last year was enough to realize that they won 7 games with that team. They can win 3 more. So they just keep adding to the O-line, which they did. They got Corey Linsley. I think they – did they make another signing on the O-line?
Yeah, they got – well, I'm going to say something. Corey Linsley is the best center in the NFL right now. They got Matt Filer from Pittsburgh as well.
Okay. So nothing crazy. But, you know, I'm sure they're going to be going O-line in the draft. They have weapons. Their defense is middle of the pack. So I could see them winning 10.
My big thing with their defense is if Derwin James can stay healthy, they're a good defense.
Yeah, they're up there with Derwin. But he hasn't stayed healthy his whole career.
Yeah. Like, he's a first-round pick. He's a great defensive back. But, like, look, if he can't stay healthy, they're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. And they got oh, no, I'm thinking of Nick Bosa. I thought Joey was the one who got hurt last year. But, yeah, they still have Joey.
Yeah, Joey got his bag last year. It's 27 mil.
Yeah, I think Melvin Ingram's still on the market, too. So he comes back there, you know, he's a productive player.
I just think there's hope for the 5 Chargers fans in this world solely based off of the fact that, look, Anthony Lynn's gone. Lynn's obviously a great coach. He already bounced back, and he's going to be the DC in Detroit. OC in Detroit, excuse me. But the big thing with me and, like, for him was just, look, there was too many games they wasted. There was the Bucs game, the Saints game. Hell, for fuck's sakes, we whooped their ass 45 to nothing.
They almost beat the Chiefs, too.
Yeah, they almost beat the Chiefs week 2. They barely beat the Bengals week 1 because of the field goal miss. But then, too, they had Tom Brady on the ropes. They had Drew Brees on the ropes.
Yeah.
Like, it just all depends on. It's like they're the ultimate show me team. And speaking of the whole Matt Filer thing, that's the other thing with Pittsburgh too. Their O-line's been gutted. Like, Villanueva's gone, Filer's gone, Pouncey retired. And that's the other thing too with the Chargers. They have to get a new center. Or no, never mind, they got Corey Linsley. Stupid me.
Yeah, they got Linsley. Yep. So, I mean, just keep adding to that O-line, man. Protect your guy. Don't do what Cincinnati did with Burrow. You know, don't go skill position. And, you know, watch the guy prosper, man.
Yeah. Next up is the Denver Broncos, 7.5.
With Drew Lock, that's an easy under. If Drew Lock is the starter, that is the easiest under that you've named so far, for sure.
Yeah.
I gave my thoughts earlier on the Broncos. I think they're there. They just need the quarterback, man. I'm not a believer in Drew Lock.
You know what? Like, you're right. They have the, like, sure, they have the defense and everything, but, like, man, if Drew Lock is your starting quarterback, you got, like, it's just, man, I don't know what, like, they see in him. Like, yeah, he had that cute little 4-game run at the end of 2019. Like, all right, we'll give him a chance. Now you know you will not make the playoffs if you have Drew Lock. Like, I think if Drew Lock starts, Fangio is gone at the end of the year, and you'll see the new guy, George, I'm blanking on his last name, will bring in his head coach.
Oh, George Patron?
Yeah, George Patron.
Yeah, I think Dable would be there next year for sure. I think that would be the smart move for them. But if they want to go the route that they think is going to work with Drew Lock, then more power to them. But it's not going to work. I'll tell you that right now.
Exactly. But there's, like, when I say the whole thing, by the way, with the, so to recap, the whole thing with the AFC, like those, like the whole wild card in the hunt teams. It's basically Miami, New England, Tennessee, Baltimore, Pittsburgh. And then the Chargers are in that mix. Because, like, the Chargers are good, but, like, for right now, no one's challenging the Chiefs for the division crown unless, like, they either have a really shitty year or someone gets hurt.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, this is the Chiefs conference for sure. Definitely.
Yeah. Like, it's like, man, the AFC this year is going to be very interesting. I think you have a lot of teams who can make noise.
I mean, it's cool from my perspective as a Jets fan because all I want to see is progress. You know, it's not hard to show progress from two wins, you know. I just want to see how everyone gels and see if, like, who's going to be a building block, who's not. We're going to be a young team, man. So I'm going to enjoy the NFL a lot more, other teams a lot more this year than my own.
Exactly. That's the other thing, too, with this podcast that's given me a thing is, like, look, I get to see what other teams are up to. Just don't – for as much as I worry about my team, like, at the same time, too, I get to look at other teams and see, like, hey, what are they going through? What are they experiencing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well anyway, Danny, it's been a blast getting to talk to you. I'm glad you and I were able to chat again. Obviously, you're back and healthy now. And if I don't get to talk to you before the draft, enjoy it, man. And we'll have to have you back on to recap all things like that. And obviously, yes, do more heated debates as the series of Danny v. Big Rack continues on YWC Football Talk.
Soon, man, soon.
Soon. Get those two guys in a room, guys. It'll be great. But anyway, guys, thank you very much for listening to episode 79 of YWC Football Talk. Join me next week as Ryan Spagnoli of Pat's Pulpit joins the podcast once again as we're going to talk some Pat's draft. That's coming out on Monday, April the 12th. Good night, everybody.
Do, did, will. The Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, saythedamnscore.com.